Our reading today comes to us from Paul's second epistle to the people of Corinth. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Let us pray. Creator of the cup that is us, the vessel that we each are, maker, sustainer, we lift up this time to you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, our fountain of grace. Amen. So today's the first Sunday of Lent, in case you didn't hear. First Sunday of Lent. This is the beginning of the season, right? It's also our first little Easter. On this day, many of the Lenten daily calendars that you would see give you no assignment. There's nothing you have to do today, right? It's an opportunity for you to take a break. Whatever it is that you have taken up for this season or given up, this is a day that you get to take a break from that, right? So whatever you've done to try to realign yourself for Easter, this is a day of rest from that as well. In diet programs, I think this would be called your cheat day, right? But here at church, we call it Little Easter. Yeah, yeah. On this first Little Easter, we've gathered here, and we have before us the Fountain of Grace, right? And I invite you to come each week and be a part of the Fountain of Grace. I will tell you, though, it is a new sound, right? For you and for me. So we'll have to figure that out, right? Yeah. But it's an opportunity for us to come before God and to give thanks to God and to consider how we can live out the call of our lives, even if we are broken cups. But before we go into broken cups, I want to tell you about a cup that means a lot to me. I bought a cup for my mother a couple Christmases ago. It fits in your hand just right, right? It's not a broken cup, but when my mom died, I asked my dad if I could have the cup back, and he agreed I could have it. Now, this new cup, this cup that I love, it was barely used when I got it back, but every time I look at it, I think about my mother. And like any good coffee cup, that's gifted to the one you love, the words on it are what mattered most to me. It was also the perfect size to, like, fit in your hand when it's warm, and you know how you just sit there and go, right? Yeah, my mom always desired for me to sit on her front porch and drink coffee with her. I don't like coffee. That very much disappointed her. I have learned to drink coffee with a lot of creamer. She liked that, but still. Right? So this coffee cup that I gave her, it was the words on it that mattered to me, that when you hold it, that it reminded me of my mother, and I wanted her to see these words, to know these words, and to believe these words as she began each day. Now, there were many days that my mother, like me, felt less than brave, days when strength felt more like a necessity than a gift. And all of those days, broken or whole, God desired for her and for me and for all of you to know that you are loved. Like the warmth of holding a good cup to fill your hands and to know that God holds you in just that same way. She believed she could, so she did. I wonder if you, like me, have felt broken at times. Like sometimes you're barely holding it together, or that you have a chip missing, right? And it's noticeable. And I have, and I'm going to guess that you have too, found ways to get patched up over the years, right? Kind of like super glued together. And you've moved forward with the next day. Good for you. My grandpa would say, now's the time when you go like this. Try that. Yeah. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you for patching yourself up and for moving forward and for being willing to take the next step and for getting up the next morning and for trying again. That's not easy to do. Good for you. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Thank God for the gifts that God has given you and me in perseverance and dedication to move forward. And bless all those people who want to look real close and see our cracks and our bruises and our scars, who up close might look at us and think that we are broken people and wonder on our behalf if we are fit to be vessels to hold God's love and to share it with others. We can. Even in our brokenness, we can hold God's love and share it with others. Some might wonder if our brokenness makes us ineligible to serve God. But you know that's not true. We are exactly the vessel, the vase, the cup, whatever you want to call it, that God depends on and enriches so that God may deliver to those around us. In fact, I know that as much as I share with you the action of being a conduit for God, I also share with you the idea of brokenness. I know that I am not the only one helping care for aged parents or in-laws. I'm not the only one running into family challenges. That there are many of you that each day you get up, you are caring for partners, parents, siblings, children, cousins, that you are holding others up. I'm not the only one that gets physically tired, right? Don't call me after 8 p.m. Yeah. But like many of you, you work long days. You drive great distances to care for others. You give much of yourself, not only to the world, but to this church in the name of God's love. And I'm not the only one that has made a mistake with my words, my actions, or my inactions. Nor am I the only one who has ever felt unworthy, inadequately equipped, or too broken to accept the task of being a conduit for God. But I am also not the only one who has had the opportunity to be forgiven, right? To be pieced back together, to be loved by the Creator. You can call us clay pots, like the scripture does, or broken cups. Either way, we have been invited to hold the treasure of God and to acknowledge the fragility of the vessel. In fact, I know that we all go through different times of life, times of brokenness. And even if you're not in that time today, you can relate. The beauty is that we as human beings, like those clay jars, are fragile. And yet God chooses us to be vessels, to carry the good news of the gospel into this world. The very idea of being fragile and broken is within our humanity, an opportunity for us to mirror Jesus' suffering on the cross. You know, Jesus' story of life, death, and resurrection, in there we can see that God works through the broken people. Others were healed when the woman reached out to touch the cloak of Jesus. Others were healed when Jesus showed up and rose from the dead, Lazarus. Others were healed when the friends cut a hole in someone's roof and dropped their friend down for healing. It wasn't just the blind man that could see, but those who had the experience with them. Those friends, those neighbors, those ones around were also vessels of God's love. What I also appreciate very much is that God invites us to not define ourselves by our brokenness, not to make a list of the times we've been persecuted, struck down, afflicted, not to sit in the times that we've been crushed or driven to despair or forsaken or destroyed, but to remember that no matter who we are still God's chosen people. We are loved. Don't define yourself by your brokenness. Define yourself by your wholeness. But I recognize, and during this time of Lent, we're invited to especially think about it, is there a brokenness within you or around you that is distracting you or keeping you from fully living into what God has called for your life? Is there a way that we as a church family could be super glue and help get you pieced back together? Now, I'll tell you, it was my desire, and Tressie thankfully talked me out of it. I wanted to bring up a cup and a hammer and break it for you. Yeah, and then I wanted to invite one of you who's really good with super glue, not me, to try to get that cup back together, right? And to recognize just how challenging it is for us to piece another back together. We will never look the way God originally made us. No. It's a challenge. But Tressie said that might not be a good idea. I think she had some forethought there. Because I don't know about you, but I've broken a glass before, and I've cleaned it up really, really good. Right? And then like 2 weeks later, I still find another piece of broken glass. Yeah. Yeah. There are hardships, right? In Paul's day, there were hardships, and he lists some of them in the scripture that was left for us. But there's hardships for all of you in this day too. And today we're invited to set those hardships down, to not think about just our brokenness, or the brokenness of those around us, but instead to think how we have been invited to share the gospel message with others. The message of Jesus being the Savior of the world. The message of love that not everybody is willing or ready to hear. Paul recognizes that our victory over adversity is a victory in God. And reminds us that victory doesn't come through our own strength or our own work. We have to participate. It's active. But we need to give God that space as well. We need to recognize that it is through God. And then we need to proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that we are here for the service of Jesus in this world. To remember God and to point others to God. God who made light in the darkness. To recall that the light of Christ can shine in the darkness, even if that darkness is in our soul. And we can carry the light of Christ with us. Jesus overcame suffering, and Jesus invited us to participate in new life. We will celebrate that new life at Easter this year. We will celebrate Jesus conquering the grave when we get to Easter. But during this time of Lent, on this break from the normal, as some would say, on this day, I invite you to consider how your appearance, how your inwardness and your outwardness might look or feel broken, and to think about how God desires to work through you, broken or not, that the light of Christ can shine through the cracks as well. Friends, I know that we are fragile beings. And if we fall and land on the wrong part, we can need a cast. And that sometimes our vessel feels unimportant. And yet, we have been invited. We have been called. We have been made in the image of God. And Paul says, because of that, we should carry Jesus to the world, that we should be God's art gallery of the world, and we should let God work through us. Today you were given a cup. I hope that you will use that cup. It's fun, right? It's fun to see how quickly we can be changed in an instant, like the cup, if we let God into our hearts and into our lives. You can use that cup to drink your meals at supper time throughout Lent, right? You could use it every morning with your first glass of water. You're supposed to drink a whole glass of water before you start your day, right? Yeah. Perhaps you will use that cup to collect your Lenten offering with the calendars on the back table. Or maybe you will just put it in front of you, right? You choose. You choose. Share the cup with someone if you wish, right? If you need another one, let me know. They're right here. But we wanted to give you this day a physical reminder of the spiritual love, the spiritual discipline of preparing yourself to receive God this Easter. I pray that that cup can be that for you. I pray that you will let yourself be a vessel, a conduit, a jar of clay this Lenten season, and recognize that God loves you and will work through all of your brokenness. With God's help, may it be so. Amen. Would you join me in